जय राधा मारद कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा मारद कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन बाबा गिरिवर जा हरी जमुना पीड़ा मनुष्य हरी जमुना पीड़ा मनुष्य हरी जय राधा मारद कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाबा गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन बाबा गिरिवर धारी जमुना पीड़ा मनुष्य हरी जमुना पीड़ा मनुष्य हरी जय राधा मारद कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमा के पवज जर सदी श्रीमदिभाग्रेसिभक्तिदांतपार की ग्रंथरा श्रीमद्भागवताम की गौर प्रेमानंदी All glories to the Buddhas, all glories to the Buddhas, all glories, all glories, Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
today we're reading from Canto 10, Chapter 4, Text 23 and then 24. We can chant together Text 23. Shama Dwan Mama Duratnam. Shama Dwam Mama Duratyam Sarabodina Vatsala Sarabodina Vatsala Iti Ukshvasru Mukkapado Iti Ukshvasru Mukkapado Shala Swasur Atagrahit Shala Swasur Atagrahit Shama Dwam Mama Duratnyam Sarabho Dina Vatsala Iti Ukshvasru Mukkapado Shara Vatsvasur Atagrahit Shama Dhamma Maduratnam Sarabodina Vatsala Iti Ukshva Iti Ukshvasru Mukkapado Shala Vatsvasura Tagrahit activities. Sarava. Both of you are great saintly persons. Dinavatsala. And are very kind to the poor, cripple-minded persons. Iti Uktva. Saying this. Ashru Mukha. His face full of tears. Padal, the feet. Shalah, his brother-in-law Kamsa. Swaswo, of his sister and brother-in-law. Ata, thus. Agrahit, captured. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Kamsa begged, "My dear sister and brother-in-law, please be merciful to such a poor-hearted person as me. Since both of you are saintly persons, please excuse my atrocities." Having said this, Kamsa fell at the feet of Vasudevan Devaki, his eyes full of tears of regret. Please repeat, Kamsa begged. "My dear sister and brother-in-law, please be merciful to such a poor-hearted person as me. Since both of you are saintly persons, please excuse my atrocities." Having said this, Kamsa fell at the feet of Vasudeva and Devaki, his eyes full of regret, his eyes full of tears of regret. Report. Although Kamsa had spoken very nicely on the subject of real knowledge, his past deeds were abominable and atrocious, and therefore he further begged forgiveness from his sister and brother-in-law by falling at their feet and admitting he was a most sinful person. Text 24. Mochayam asa nigadad vishrabda kanika kira devakim vasudevam cha darshan atmashor ridam. Fully believing in the words of the goddess Durga, Kamsa exhibited his familial affection for Devaki and Vasudev by immediately releasing them from their iron shackles. Om Agamate Marandasya Dhananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dharati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamala Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prichana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Nitamscha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwade Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Pye Vanshakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnava Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
This verse here in this section, Kamsa has been giving us some transcendental knowledge. And as has been discussed for several days, although it is a little amazing, the demons actually are quite familiar with this knowledge because of the nature of that age. Everyone received that kind of training and education. So Kamsa seems to have come to his senses here, and he is regretting his past atrocities. Not as much, not really mentioning that he was concerned about Krishna. That is not mentioned here, but he was indicated to be afraid and concerned of Durga Devi. Excuse me. So here he is begging forgiveness for his offenses. He's done something quite atrocious. In modern days, such a person would be both removed from office and perhaps and probably put in jail, if not executed. But at least he's begging forgiveness from Vasudeva and Devaki, and he is releasing them, so it's a good step. So in studying this, I was considering, like, how we can understand this and maybe get a little bit of a tangent on this, how we should deal with another person, especially another devotee, who has done something very atrocious or very bad, maybe not atrocious. It's unusual, somebody, a devotee will kill somebody, but perhaps he's done something that is not proper, that is not acceptable. Has come to light and now he is apologizing, he's asking for forgiveness. So a natural reaction, of course, is to see the faults, to see that the person has done something unacceptable against Vaishnava behavior, and to want to see him perhaps corrected in some way, some punishment, some atonement. So this is an ordinary vision, but Krishna gives us some advice. And I'm not sure exactly if you're all familiar with it, I'm sure you are. But Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita something very special. He says this verse, chapter 9, text 30, Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mam amanyabhak sadureva samantavya samyag viravasito isa. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. So, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport the following, that these words, sadhu-eva, he is saintly, are very emphatic. They are a warning to the non-devotees that because of an accidental fall down, a devotee should not be derided. He should still be considered saintly, even if he has accidentally fallen down. The word mantavya is still more emphatic. If one does not follow this rule and derides a devotee for his accidental fall down, then one is disobeying the order of the Supreme Lord. The only qualification of a devotee is to be unflinchingly and exclusively engaged in devotional service. And then there's there's a verse quoted from the Shunga Purana, which Prabhupada says, the meaning is that if even if one is fully engaged in devotional service, and he is sometimes found engaged in abominable activities, these activities should be considered like spots that resemble the marks of a rabbit on the moon. Such spots do not become an impediment to the diffusion of moonlight. Similarly, the accidental fall down of a devotee from the path of saintly character does not make him abominable. So this is a strong statement. And Krishna gives further qualification, further advice on this point in the next verse, where he says, Shipram Bhavati Dhanamatma Shashvat Anchantim Nigachati Kontaya Patijani Name Bhakta Pranasyati. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace, O son of Kunti. Declare boldly that my devotee never perishes. So generally, Prabhupada said, generally a devotee who is engaged in the nine kinds of devotional services engaged in the process of cleansing all material contamination from the heart. He puts the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, and all sinful contaminations are naturally washed away. But in the Vedas, there is a certain regulation that if one falls down from his exalted position, he has to undergo certain ritualistic processes to purify himself. But here there is no such condition, because the purifying process is already there in the heart of the devotee, due to his remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, should be continued without stoppage. This will protect the devotee from all accidental fall downs, and he will remain perpetually free from all material contamination. So this is a very enlightening statement, a very encouraging statement. And as I was reading that, actually I went further and I was studying in the comment, there's a commentary given by Vishnuvada Chakravarti Thakur about these verses. It goes as follows. One might ask, but if someone is corrupted by such bad behavior, how can he be a sadhu? This is answered, quote, he should be considered as such and thought of as a sadhu. The words he should be considered is an injunctive statement. If this injunction is disobeyed, there will be unfavorable consequences. In other words, the evidence for this truth is simply that it is simply my command, Krishna's command. It goes further, he says, well, someone might say one may be considered a sadhu partially, or to the extent that he is worshipping you, but to the extent he is usurping other men's wives and property, he is not to be considered a sadhu. This is answered by the word eva, only. He should only be considered a sadhu in all ways, completely. We should never view him as not a sadhu. His determination is completely fixed. And then this is the mentality of this person. Quote, I may go to hell or obtain an animal birth because of my unavoidable sinful reactions, but I will never give up my exclusive worship of Sri Krishna. Such determination is praiseworthy. But one might ask, why do you, Krishna, accept the worship of such an irreligious person? Why do you consume the food and drink offered by one whose heart is contaminated by lust and anger and other faults? In response, the Lord says, quote, he quickly becomes religious. This is not expressed as he is going to be quickly become, or he will soon achieve peace, but rather the present tense is used. He becomes, he attains. The Lord continues, quote, this means that immediately after he commits impiety, he remembers me and feels remorse. He thus becomes religious. He thinks, alas, alas, there is no person more fallen than me. I defile the reputation of the community of devotees. Damn me. Again and again, feeling remorse like this, he achieves complete peace and detachment. Well, one might say, if he actually becomes religious, then there can be no argument about such a person. But what about a devotee whose behavior is wicked and he fails to give up his bad behavior throughout his whole life? What can be said about him? Always affectionate to his devotees, the Lord responds to this doubt with the complete confidence and some anger in the words beginning Konteya. My devotee never perishes. Even when he dies, he never falls down. To encourage Arjuna, who is disturbed with sorrow and apprehension over the thought that hard-hearted quibblers will indulge in false logic and they will not accept this, the Lord says, O Kuntiya, go to the assembly of these disputants and make a loud sound with drums and cymbals. Raise your arms fearlessly and declare my promise. I, Krishna, am the Supreme Lord, and even if my devotee is wicked in his behavior, he will never perish. On the contrary, such a devotee is sure to become successful. Their bad logic will be shattered by this confident declaration. They will certainly take shelter of you as their guru. Such is the interpretation given by Sridhar Swami in his commentary. Someone may ask, but why doesn't the Personality of God in himself make this promise? Why does he instead deputize Arjuna to promise? In the same way, the Lord will later say, without a doubt, you will come to me. I promise you this because you are very dear to me. So why does he now say, Kuntiya, I promise that my devotee will never perish? Why doesn't he say that? Here is the answer. At that moment, the Lord was thinking, I am very affectionate to my devotees, and I cannot tolerate their being discredited at all. I will break even my own promise and let myself be discredited to protect my devotee's promise. For example, I will soon fight with Bhishma and discard my own promise in order to protect Bhishma's promise. Thus, atheistic, logical quibblers will only laugh if now I offer my own promise. But they will have to acknowledge Arjuna's promise as if it were written in stone. Therefore, I will have Arjuna make this promise. So these are some indications that when we see or hear someone who's had some difficulty, how Krishna wants us to see that person. And how we can be implicated in fault if we see them differently. If we speak about them differently, in a critical way, in a deriding way, talking about their faults. That we will not be accepted by Krishna. He's not talking about what that person is, what will happen to us if we criticize such a person. Krishna doesn't want us to speak like that. Even though it may seem perfectly factual and justifiable, and Krishna's mercy is so great that if a person has even started on this path and then gives it up for all kinds of simple activities, Krishna's promising he'll still deliver him. He will still deliver him from the cycle of birth and death. Such is Krishna's feeling towards his devotee, even if he's not able to return to the path of devotional service in this lifetime. So I took it that this is a way we can apply some knowledge here to what is happening. Kamsa is begging for forgiveness and becomes Vasudeva and Devaki are sadhus. They easily forgive. They forgive him. And there's a story. I tried to get an account of it, but what I found was a little different than I remember, but I'll read what I found anyway. There's a story about a scorpion who once requested a favor from camel. He wanted to cross, the scorpion wanted to cross a deep river. He said he could not find any way to do so. Seeing a camel nearby, the scorpion approached him and asked the camel to carry him across. And the camel refused, saying, "You will sting me." "No, no, I'm an ethical scorpion. I promise I won't sting you." The camel agreed, and taking the scorpion on his hump, he began crossing the river, and halfway across, the scorpion suddenly stung the camel. "Why did you do that?" the camel asked. "Now we will both die." So, in this way, the camel was questioning the scorpion, and the scorpion said, "This is my nature. What can I do?" So similarly, the sadhu, when he's faced with that difficulty, he said, "What can I do? It's my nature to forgive. It's my nature." So this is the direction and encouragement that we are having to develop in our own hearts. Whether it's directly an offense against us or just some fall down, an accident, a problem someone has. When in the association of devotees, people find that we have developed this kind of attitude, they will be very attracted. Because in this age of Kali, this quality of forgiveness is quickly going away. People, because of this age of Kali, they want to take revenge. They want to chastise. They want to punish anyone and everyone for whatever their fault may be, whatever their crime may be. And they have less and less and less of this quality of mercy and forgiveness. So this is one of the emblems of a devotee. This quality of forgiveness, as we're describing the activities of the scorpion. There was another similar story about the sage helping the sadhu, helping the scorpion who was drowning in the river. He reached out to help the scorpion, and as he was pulling to the river, the scorpion stung him. And again, the scorpion, he asked the scorpion, "Why did you do this?" He says, "This is my nature to sting. What can I do?" And the scorpion asked him, "Why did you? You knew I would sting you. Why did you pick me up?" And he says, "My nature to be kind and to forgive." So we should think about how we can develop this quality, because it's not spontaneous, especially for those who have been conditioned in Krishna. Before coming to Krishna consciousness, how to develop this quality of forgiveness and mercy is very helpful and very important. And we can see, I mean, I don't think we'll have to forgive such atrocities as Kamsa has committed. Here he's not only imprisoned his own sister and brother-in-law, but he's killed their children one after another, right in front of their very eyes. newborn children. So cruel. So atrocious. So their example is there for us, that if they can forgive, certainly we should understand and try to apply this quality of forgiveness. So I'll stop here and ask if anyone has any questions or comments. Yes, Tatari Prabhu. Is your microphone?
When you were speaking about the sadhu and the scorpion, you know, I was thinking of that example of I don't know whether Srila Prabhupada spoke this or not, but that you know, we're to be kind to all living entities, but it's not like we go out and we, you know, embrace the tiger or, you know, like that. So how do we exercise discretion with our own activities of being kind and so forth? I mean, we don't want to be ignorant.
Of course, there is the recommendation or the statement that there are three classes of devotees. The Kanishtan, the Madhyam, and the Uttam Bhaktas. And we should take the platform of Madhyam and make distinction, Prabhupada describes, between the innocent, the devotees, the more advanced devotees, and the envious. The envious people we should avoid so that their offensive nature will not be encouraged further. But the innocent we can preach to them and help them. For the devotees, we should serve them and take their association. There's actually this mood of service to the devotee is very critical to development of spiritual life. And by serving devotees, it helps us get free from all our material attachments very quickly. So it is highly recommended that we take advantage of this service mood. Yes, Ganagamya Prabhu.
Can you put the class today in the context of a recent expulsion from our community of one devotee who apparently committed some abominable activities, and then after many years of restoring himself in the grace of the Lord, was banned from the society due to the unforgiving nature of the persons that he apparently offended? Can you put that in a context? Because from what you're saying, the very high philosophy you're espousing, which is there at the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, when Dharma is asked to accuse who has done the horrible things to him, cutting off his legs, he says, if I accuse, then I'm also culpable, I'm also involved. So, like this, in light of this, the philosophy that you're presenting today is consistent with that first canto chapter story. How is it possible that the, you know, administration would judge that it's appropriate for such a person to leave the community of devotees?
Well, there are things to be understood further in the area that you're speaking. Specifically, our society has gone through some different stages where there have been some grievous activities performed by devotees against other devotees, and sometimes even without any repentance. So there's also a duty by those who are administrating the society to give protection to those who are innocent, and to preserve a atmosphere in the society whereby all people feel sheltered and protected from any further difficulties. There's also put in place a process of generally rectification by which persons who have done abominable activities may properly show their sincerity of seeking forgiveness. So my understanding is that is how these situations are dealt with. Because simply
Hare Krishna, that there's more to that purport that you wrote on the Apachet.
That's true.
I studied this purport because one time I was the child protection director. Obviously, this was a very key verse that was trotted out in different circumstances. Prabhupada goes on to say it's the very last paragraph of that purport. He says, on the other hand, one should not misunderstand that a devotee in transcendental devotional service can act in all kinds of abominable ways. This verse only refers to an accident due to the strong powers of material connections. Devotional service is more or less a declaration of war against the illusory energy. As long as one is not strong enough to fight the illusory energy, there may be accidental falldowns. But when one is strong enough, he is no longer subjected to such fall downs, as previously explained. No one should take advantage of this verse and commit nonsense and think that he is still a devotee. If he does not improve his character by devotional service, then it is to be understood that he is not a high devotee. That's the end of the purport. So I think that, you know, we have to take into consideration, as you said, the management responsibilities that we have to protect all devotees who are trying to pursue devotional service. And I think Prabhupada is giving the balance.
Yes. Thank you. We have a nice authoritative statement by a nice authority. Thank you very much. Krishna Keshava, one last comment here.
Just to add one more thing is, in that last line, says, if he does not improve in his character by devotional service, then it's to be understood that he is not a high devotee. It didn't say he is not a devotee, but he said he's not a high devotee. So, and when I heard on this particular verse, Jai Dwaita Maharaj was giving a class in Vrindavan a couple of years ago, and he was making the same point that it's two different things. One is we have to see the fact that devotees are engaged, that they have surrendered their life, and that is their commitment. And so they're always going to be devotees. They committed some abominable action, and therefore others should see it as an accident. However, I'm still, not just throw stones at that person, but to understand who is a devotee and they fall on his accidental, especially if it's a one-time affair or even more. But if a person is constantly making mistakes, constantly falling down, and that's a different thing, and the authorities, the management, they have to take some action. Otherwise, they would be performing something abominable. And it's actually necessary. But at the same time, one cannot just constantly look for faults in others, because that's by itself is abominable.
In other societies, not Vaishnava societies, like in the Middle East, if someone commits even a smaller mistake or sin, they may even be killed by the society that they live in. So that's not recommended, but just saying that we have to adjust everything and make everything in balance, that everyone's rights and interests are protected in a proper way. That's about it.
What Prabhupada says in the end of the purport that Mother Manchini read is very important to be able to see both sides of it, because I was actually hearing that this verse, the qualification is Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhak, that he worships me with Ananya Bhak, means one-pointed devotion, that he's intelligently understood that Krishna consciousness, pure bhakti, is the goal of his life, and he's given that determination to make pure bhakti the goal of his life. So it can't apply just, as a blanket statement to anyone who comes in contact with Krishna consciousness. Some may be coming in contact just for a short time and getting some sukriti that will fructify later. But others who have developed ananya bhak, where they have one-pointed devotion for Krishna, then that category of persons this verse applies to. And Prabhupada actually made that point. He was talking about sadhu, and then he said, what is the definition of sadhu? And he quoted this verse. He said, one who has developed ananya bhak. And then the examples he gave were Bharat Maharaj and Dova Mangal Thakur, who we know are both very exalted devotees. So it's not just a blanket statement that applies to everyone. And so like Dova Mangal Thakur, we see how advanced he actually was after those apparent fall downs. He wrote Krishna Kananita and all these beautiful prayers. And Bharat Maharaj, in Jad Bharat's life, you see his wonderful example. So these are the examples that are given for this verse. They may have fallen down. Bharat Maharaj took the birth as a deer, so it's an apparent fall down, but still he had an ananya bhak, he had one point of devotion for Krishna. So then he's applicable, this verse is applicable for him. And another thing in terms of forgiveness, Sri Gaura Govinda Maharaj explains that we can't have true forgiveness in a vacuum, that we just try to be forgiving to everybody and everyone. Is that if you have strong faith in the process of Krishna consciousness, if you have strong faith in Harinam, then somebody is chanting Krishna's name even though he has so many bad qualities. Because you have so much faith in Harinam, that yes, definitely, because Mahaprabhu has backed this Harinam, he will be purified. So then you can have real forgiveness. So, but if your faith in Krishna consciousness is not so strong, then in that proportion, your ability to see others in a loving or compassionate mood will also be compromised. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay, we're gonna... One thing, keep it short.
Yeah. I was just thinking of this verse where Krishna is responding in a similar way, where he's talking, he says, having awakened faith in the narrations of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to miseries, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotees should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction, even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment. My devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. So there's an understanding going through this process that this there'll be some temporary tests that come, that you won't pass them all, apparently, but he says that if you have faith in my narrations. And then there's a really nice verse also at 4:4:12. Good memory. This is Parvati talking to Daksha about different qualities of a devotee, of people in general. And he says, well, she's actually real mad when she's saying this verse, but the purport's a little bit softer. But the verse is, twice born Daksha, a man like you simply finds fault in the qualities of others. Lord Shiva, however, not only finds no fault with others' qualities, but if someone has a little good quality, he magnifies it greatly. Unfortunately, you have found fault with such a great soul. And there's a purport by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur where he gives the four gradations of good people and four gradations of bad people. And Prabhupada quotes the good people in this verse where, let's see, he says for, page is jumping around a little bit here. So,
can we
all right.
Stop here?
Sure, thank you. But basically he says that some people see good qualities and bad qualities. Other people only see good qualities. And he said the topmost, they see when there aren't even any good qualities, they find some good quality, and that's just the way they see it. And Lord Shiva is like that, and also devotees.
All right. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.